Well, you know how we like to do it. At the end of the podcast, we do the closing jingle, and then we throw in a bonus interview. This week, we've got a nice, cool, fun talk with the always awesome Darius Rucker. As soon as the jingle's done, that starts, and you're going to love it. Darius Rucker, at the end of the podcast, stick around for that.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, the podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day, period. Period.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
Oh,
that made
classic.
Big D's day right
James,
there.
Well, I want to bring up, James had texted us earlier, right before we went on with this podcast, and he says, I've been listening to y'all's podcast starting at episode number one, and I have almost listened to every single one. What cracks me up the most is when you play the snippet, Bubba, on the radio from back in the day. The high voice gets me every time.
That wasn't that
That's
bad.
Not that high. There's some high. There's some snippets of Bubba that...
Okay, so we went through a stage. Let me explain.
Oh, man.
We went through a stage where we were like, we were going to do this whole thing. It was going to be kind of like redneck radio, and the whole thing was...
You can't blame that on your high-pitched voice. That is not what it is. There are two things. Yes, you used to talk with this way, or not talk like this, but you also had an incredibly high-pitched
this
voice.
This is so uncomfortable.
Because Big D used to do the darn thing, too. But his voice wasn't 10 octaves higher like yours is.
So what happened?
You grew up? That's what happened?
I don't want to grow up. I want to be a high-pitched kid.
When we started, we were like 15 years old. So.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
I was 14. You were 14. I posted a picture. It was funny because yesterday was National Radio Day. And on Instagram, you had everybody. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that. You had everybody posting all these pictures of them in their career because it was Throwback Thursday and National Radio Day. And I posted a picture on my story for Instagram, if I'm not mistaken, that was black and white. It was a photo that I saw my very first job ever in radio. There was a picture of me from in the studio in my program director's office when I was there, and I took a photocopy of it because I didn't want to take his picture. So somewhere that actual picture exists, but I have a photocopy of that picture. And I was like, man, that's cool. That's the only memory or only photographic evidence that I was ever working at 14.
Yeah, I ran across some old tapes somewhere.
And, like actual cassette tapes?
Yeah.
Bring them in.
Yeah,
that's
been
the radio.
A while back. Yeah, I don't need to.
We talk a lot about how one of the first interview I ever booked with a country artist was Charlie Daniels. Well, when Charlie died, I went back. You guys were on vacation, so I played a bunch of old tapes of us and Charlie. I found that tape of the first time we talked to Charlie Daniels on the phone. I couldn't use it. It did not sound anything like y'all, and Bubba sounded like he was 12. It's so that of all the tapes I've heard, because you're thinking that's probably 2001, and so Charlie sounds the same. Well, no, I'm Charlie.
Man, blah, blah, blah.
And then he stops talking, and you hear Bubba go, "Well, Charlie, I guess it's up to us now." Just
so great.
Like so.
How you like that?
Oh my
god! I mean, come on.
Dude, I will play it for you. You want to play it? I'll go put a clip right now on your button board. We can listen to it.
No,
that'd be so much fun. We can listen to it and see how much Bubba turns beet red. From hearing it.
It's the lighting in here. These red lights, and they're on my face.
Speaking of Grand Ole Opry.
5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
I didn't sound like I'm 12 there, and that was before Charlie.
Because you would be in this guy.
That's right, man. You lowered it down.
Speaking of Grand Ole Opry members who've died this year, I think we've lost three. Because Kenny Rogers wasn't a Grand Ole Opry member, but Joe Diffie and Charlie Daniels and Jan Howard, who was married to Harlan Howard and then had a career as a singer. She was in the Grand Ole Opry. She was in her 90s, and she passed away. And they are having an estate sale today for Jan Howard.
Guess where Patrick and I are headed.
I think we're both going to go after the podcast and check it out.
I have, there's a couple of things that I have my eye on, and I have
Do they list some of the stuff?
They posted a video that's over 20 minutes long showing you some of the things.
And they just showed some of it. And honestly, I just want to go see it. Like, I don't think it's going to be affordable because, you know, it's not like just some random person who worked in the music industry and had cool stuff. Because it was her and it's attached to her and she was a Grand Ole Opry member, I'm sure it's going to be very expensive, but I still want to see the stuff. It's just interesting to me.
All if you find some old vintage tour shirts from like the 60s and 70s, did they do tour shirts
they
in the
did.
60s?
They did. I've been to...
Did they do t-shirts back then?
Yes, no. Because, yeah, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has a smattering of them. They actually reached out to me.
How many is a smattering?
Not a ton, but they had reached out to me because they were on our website. And they saw all of our little bios, and they were checking us out. And because I said something about vintage t-shirts, they sent me a link, and they're like, you should come visit, and you should see the vintage t-shirts we have. So I did. And it's not a huge amount, and I'm sure some of them maybe didn't survive, but they have a couple. They have a few. And so
like they have like Woodstock or something like that?
Even older than that. They have stuff from the 50s, but it's very – they look almost homemade-ish because I think that's probably –
Yeah.
Not that it was, not the way
like somebody's family made them.
Maybe that somebody associated with the artist made them.
Yeah, like just like a plain old screen printing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, t-shirts, people didn't wear t-shirts until the 80s.
Well, they were undershirts back in the day.
Right. Right. When you see the picture of like greasers in the 50s, right? That wore the plain white t-shirt. To put anything on it was, you didn't see a lot of that going up until. I want to say probably the 70s, because even stuff from the 60s, like the only Woodstock true clothing I've seen are staff shirts for security for the original Woodstock and jackets, which actually was on Jeff Foxworthy's new show that somebody was getting those appraised.
Yeah, we're working on getting him on the show next month to talk about this.
We haven't had Jeff on in a while.
Yeah, and he's got this new show where it's called What It's Worth, where it's basically Antiques Roadshow for rednecks. I just think that's the best idea.
Some of the stuff he's got, though, some of the people, I was impressed. Some of the things people just have sitting in their house, it's amazing. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there was one guy on who had something that was worth $500,000.
What?
Mm-hmm. What was it?
It was an Andy Warhol print.
You're the worst. Yeah. You just said I don't want to ruin it for
you. Well,
you asked. You know.
You asked. I figured I'd tell you.
You delivered.
You would tell us everything.
I would.
Hope you don't get caught and behind enemy lines.
This is why I do nothing wrong.
It was me.
Tell us where the armies are.
No, I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, they're over that hill, and then we got one, three over there.
My eyes start darting in that direction.
Here's their number. Just text them. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Does it keep me alive? Then you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our big plan for the day.
Yeah, we're gonna go look.
Go see Jan Howard's old guitars. The thing I'm sure it's gonna be outrageous, but she has the pass where she performed at the George Jones Memorial Concert, because it was supposed to be George Jones's last show, and he had invited like 120 artists to come perform with him throughout the night. And then he died, so they kept that concert and turned it into a George Jones tribute. And I was at that show. It was awesome. It was amazing. Every song was a new star. And if it wasn't Garth or George or Alan Jackson, they would put like five people up at a time because they were trying to get them all on. Like, all right, this next song to sing, here's Travis Tritt and Clint Black and Tracy Lawrence. Go ahead, guys, sing the song. And then get up there and sing it together. They're just trying to get all
through
everybody.
So every song was like an all-star thing.
All-star. It was amazing. It really was.
I went down a George Jones rabbit hole recently where I just read and read and read all this stuff. I didn't realize how penniless he was, like in the 70s.
At
one point, he was like addicted to all kinds of stuff, and he was penniless and homeless.
He and Tammy Wynette were so hard up for money that they agreed to do another duets album after they got divorced and hated each other. So imagine, think of all of you who are divorced, including me, think of how much you like your ex. Husband or wife, think of how much money you would have to need in order to go spend time working together with them and then promoting it and appearing on TV shows together, singing the songs.
That's crazy.
Nope.
That's crazy. Yeah, nope. I was blown away, and I was watching like all these old clips and stuff, and Waylon Jennings basically adopted him and took care of him and, you know, found work for him and basically forced him to get out there and earn money again. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know any of that stuff.
Well, Tracy Lawrence and I talk about it all the time when we're taping our radio shows. We drink whiskey while we're taping it. And all whiskey that we drink on this show was purchased at Colonial Liquors, not a sponsor, that is right over here near our studio where George Jones actually rode his lawnmower while drunk to avoid a DUI, but still got a DUI, and bought liquor. He was drunk, and his wife had left, not Tammy Wynette, one of his other wives.
Collect them all.
Yeah. I think his middle, the wife in between, is like wife
Pokemon
number two.
Pokemon wives?
Yeah. He was married a handful of times. And everyone knows that story. She stole his keys, and she left the house, and then he, you know, he wanted more liquor, so he went and got on the riding lawnmower and rode to the liquor store. And that's the actual liquor store that he rode to.
I heard that's not true.
No, it's absolutely true. I've had it confirmed by two different historians. That was it. Okay. And I never thought about it before, but if you think about it, yeah, where all the artists lived is right down here. There's no liquor store closer to that, especially back then. You know, they all used to live over in Green Hills or
Can
on Franklin
imagine
Road.
Imagine being so hard up for anything, whether it's liquor or food or whatever, that you're just like, you know what? I'm not going to walk. I'm going to jump on my riding lawnmower.
It's too far to walk. I mean, it's probably a mile and a half.
That's not too far to walk.
When walking's a little hard for you. I'm like, well. You need a stabilizing force in that John Deere.
That's right. That is right.
Was the blade engaged? That's what I want to know. Like, did he mow a strike?
I think he knew better. No, I mean, maybe he, you know what? That'd be a great excuse if you do get pulled over. Just every time you go over a patch of grass, you engage the blade. And you know, I'm just mowing, officer. Fine.
Such a great story.
It's one of the all-time country music legends.
Someone else had done that recently, like just a regular Joe kind of guy. And I saw that he got arrested and they impounded his lawnmower and everything.
We're just making fun, but like, don't drive your lawnmower while drunk. Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, you know how they have the dare cars and everything? Like, could you imagine somebody getting busted for driving their lawnmower, and now all of a sudden the cops are running around with a dare lawnmower?
You know, they race them. They had the lawnmower races, mm-hmm. So maybe you could do that. Some of those dare cars are pretty,
dude, I've seen
funny.
Dare Ferraris and dare Lamborghinis and dare Corvettes. And,
wow.
By the way, the dare program was a huge flop.
Yeah,
it was. It did not do well. I mean, you know it, but it's very ineffective, and it was not what I mean. I think they mean well, but it would just anyway.
Yeah, they were able to impound.
Did they make
some
y'all
hot
sing
cars,
the song?
Though.
No, I don't know.
Why don't you do that for us?
I don't want to sing the song.
Come on, Patrick. Come on.
Dare to keep the kid off drugs. Dare. To keep a kid off dope. Oh, yeah. Dare to give a kid some help. Dare to give a kid some hope. Yes, that was the song. They made us all sing it. It was terrible.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Like in the class, is that when the cop came
and
the in
the kids
house
would all and the kids would all yell, dare, like really loud on that one line.
Did you have cops come into your class?
Oh,
and
yeah. We had a robot. There was a robot.
You had a
Sheriff's
robot?
Department had a robot.
Like what, one of the bomb bots?
No, it looked like...
Bitty, bitty bomb bot.
It looked like Rosie from, you know...
Jetsons?
The Jetsons. Like, it was one of these, oh, look, we've got a robot, kids. And the robot just went...
Yeah.
Dude, it's some guy dressed in cardboard
That's what I
boxes.
Thought it was.
No, it was an actual robot, but it wasn't, you know, whatever. It was the 80s.
Dude,
robots
I said
in the
bitty,
80s
bitty,
were not good.
Bot.
You did.
That's pretty great.
Do you remember Rad? Rockers Against Drugs.
Oh my God.
They used to run so many commercials on MTV, and it was always like John Bon Jovi telling you, like, stop drugs.
I remember it being a couple of other dudes who had, like, you know, they got busted, and that's why they're doing it. Like, isn't that Steven Tyler? What? Wait a minute.
Hi, I'm Ozzy Osbourne.
Listen, when I'm not snorting ants off the ground. I'm reminding you, kids, don't do drugs and end up like me.
It was, they were up against a brick wall in a shady alley, like, stay off drugs, kids, because this is where you're going to find them. You know, and you're like five.
Where are you going to find them? See that guy over there behind the dumpster? Don't go talk to him, because I already got to him.
You know, I did, sometimes I'll be at the house and I'll get YouTube on TV in the living room. And I'll pull up MTV from 1989 or whatever, 88 or something, and then and let it play. And they have like hours and hours of broadcasting as it played back.
Somebody just recorded on a VHS?
Yeah. And so it just plays, and I just kind of let it play while I'm doing chores around the house.
Say no to drugs. Yeah, like you got a choice. You got a brain, you got a choice. You're born
it's
here.
Ted Nugent.
You die here.
You know,
well,
he's never done a drug in his life.
All right, let's see who the next one is. The next one is...
And it's been a lot of time hanging out with people who...
The girl from Thompson Twins.
Oh great.
Wow.
Or Till Tuesday.
Yeah. Amy Mann?
Yeah, that's who it is. Oh, look, there's Paul Stanley from Kiss.
I don't get invited to any party.
He didn't do drugs either.
He didn't either?
Nope.
Well, you see?
Nope.
All right, let's see.
Maybe they were legit.
He and Gene were pretty clean.
I have us up in the background. I know, it's weird. I did that earlier to make sure the sound was there. There's a bunch of great rock stars. There's Cinderella. Telling us to not do drugs.
Which one?
The whole band is there.
Oh,
there.
Well, that's a shame.
Probably Carson, only one talking.
Carson knows well enough.
Yep.
The other ones are looking around nervously.
All right, guys, we got to do this promo because this is part of our probation.
What is it, aged like milk?
This is our community service.
Tom's all right.
Did you hear that? You know, they do the, like when artists come in and they do liners for us and it's a group, they always say it, their name at the same time. All right. I guess you give it one, two, three. Hi, this is Cinderella. I always hate it. I always go, just have one guy do it.
The weirdest one for me is we were talking about it the other day. I get creeped out. I love these ladies. So I don't mean no disrespect. I love them. Maddie and Tay, girls, you got to stop doing it at the same time. Watch this. Hold on. Do you know what I'm talking about, Big D?
Yeah, it comes off very well. You'll hear. You'll see. I don't want to influence the jury. But yeah.
All right, here we go.
Hi, this is Maddie and Tay, and you're listening to Big D and Bubba.
Wow, they literally did the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Hi, we're Maddie and Tay, but then one of the, it's always like a designated, with Lady Annabelle, and they'll all look around and go, you got this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so then they go, hi, we're Lady A, and then they, whoever's job it is to read the rest of it does it.
Yes, like if one of them said, hey, we're Maddie and Tay, the other comes in and says, you're listening to Big D and Bubba, that's cool.
They sound like robots.
They
play it again.
Perfectly Stepford.
Hi, this is Maddie and Tay, and you're listening to Big D and Bubba.
It's amazing.
That's impressive.
It is very impressive.
They know each other's timing and everything. We couldn't do that if I gave you guys both the script and said, read this script and be that in sync with each other.
I think actually we probably could.
Yeah, I think we. Excuse me. Yes. Would you like us to do it for
right now? Do it right now. Do hi, we're Big D and Bubba, and you're listening to Big D and Bubba. Go ahead.
Okay. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Hi, we're Big D and Bubba, and you're listening to Big D and Bubba.
You got the end of that pretty good, but you already stepped on each other at the beginning.
Yeah, well, it didn't help when you're talking in the middle of while.
I didn't say I was going to make it fair.
Okay. Professionals would plow through.
Right.
So anyway, what are you guys doing this weekend? Y'all doing anything fun?
My parents are in town, so
that's good. Nice.
You know, just hang out with them.
You sound excited about that. Carson, you doing anything?
I'm going to some estate sales and I'm listing a bunch of things on
and
eBay.
You're lifting.
Yeah. And going to the gym. That's
Carson's
really...
lost so much weight. She looks great.
Thank you.
You look great anyway. But
we all did that 100 pounds in 100 days and quit, except for Carson. Carson stayed on it. And
I'm trying.
She's been killing it. I asked her the other day, I was like, have you lost more? And she was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's very obvious. But see, nowadays you can't ask people if they've lost weight. Like, you can't. You can't go, oh, you look great. You can't do it because it gets weird. And then, like, you never know. Somebody goes to HR and they complain. You're like, I was just telling them they look great. They did all their work, hard work is paying off. Yeah. But you can't do that anymore.
It's been weird for years. Let's not pretend it's, like, newly weird.
But it's worse now than it's ever been. Ever since the Me Too thing happened, you can't tell somebody they look great because they lost all their weight.
5 years ago. No. It was worse.
Big D, you look great.
Thanks,
see,
man.
I can tell you that, right?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay.
You can say I look terrible, too. It doesn't matter either way. I don't care.
I got pulled into HR once about a wardrobe. This was in a corporate job. And it was because I'd been losing weight and my pants were too big. And I had been giving some sort of talk. And I guess, like, because they were, I didn't have a belt or something. It's not that they were falling off me, but I pointed or something and supposedly my shirt lifted up a little bit, so somebody saw a centimeter of skin and went to HR to complain that I was showing skin at work.
If lifting my arms up and showing the top of my belly could get me sent to HR, I would have lived there back in the old days.
I know the three of us would have been fired from every job we've ever worked at.
I'm sorry. I saw the bottom of Patrick's belly. Again? Three times this week.
Dude, I had to go. I would go to the gym and my shirts, when I would do anything overhead press, my shirts would show that much of my belly. And I would see people doing this. They'd be lifting on their other machines or whatever, and they'd go. double take, very uncomfortable. So I had to go get tall shirts. I had to buy my shirts in tall, so only this much of my belly poked out.
And then to really fix the problem, he just stopped going to the gym. And now he doesn't have the problem at all.
Yeah. Now I don't have any issues whatsoever.
Easy peasy. How's your grill doing, D?
The new one?
Yeah,
the PK?
Yeah. The new old one.
The new old one, yeah. No, it's doing great, man. It's it takes a little bit of getting used to, but I probably cook on it. I cooked on it last night. I did some grilled chicken, and boy, you ever just get in the mood for an old-fashioned hot dog?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I did some beef hot dogs last night, and
toast the bread?
Yep.
Yeah. Not
do that.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry. I was setting you up, man.
Yeah, did I marinate the chicken? Okay. Yeah.
What kind of buns do you use? Just standard hot dog buns? Or do you use New England style?
No, I use, they're called, they're like potato bread.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what the style. I'm not familiar with the New England style.
Yeah.
What's that?
It doesn't look like a roll as much as a rectangle, and they split it down the middle. It's used a lot for lobster rolls, but that's also how I grew up eating hot dogs. Everybody put them in New England style rolls, and there's probably more bread on them. And there's a hot dog place around here that uses them, and they grill them in butter before they do, and it's spectacular.
Yeah,
I think I've been to that place. It's a place over on West End.
Yeah, that's one of the places they have.
What do you guys enjoy that sounds?
Dogs. What do you guys put on your hot dogs? Yeah.
Everything. No. I either have two ways of doing it. I will do it with just mustard, or I will do it with everything under the sun. There is no condiment that does not belong in a hot dog. None.
Well, yes, there is.
None. Yeah. Whatever, dude.
Relish.
Chili
relish?
And cheese. I can't
relish. I'm down for chili and cheese. I'm
relish
down for
is basically ground up pickles. Like, I'm not eating anything.
No. Oh, yeah, you don't like pickles. That's right.
I just want all the ketchup.
Just ketchup.
I drown
one of
my
the few
dogs
places
in ketchup.
Y'all know I hate ketchup.
I know,
but
a lot
I will
of people
eat
do.
It on dog. I
you will.
Will. It's weird. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh wow.
Yeah. I'm not even big on it. I can handle a burger with a little bit of ketchup, but a hot dog, I'm totally down.
Oh, there's
for
something
it.
About when you slather a hot dog in ketchup and it gets warmed up by the dog and the ketchup runs out. And whether you have fries or potato chips, now you've got the warmed up ketchup that you can dip your side into, and it's spectacular.
Okay.
It's like McDonald's. Like, I don't know what it was when I was a little kid. McDonald's ketchup was the best.
Well, because
like,
it was fancy.
Well, no, it was
literally fancy ketchup.
No, but like I used to get it on the burger. It was warm, and that made all the difference in the world. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I don't
straight
like ketchup.
Straight out of the fridge.
Yeah, it's cold.
I have the same move where I will put the bun down. I'll put the hot dog in it, and then I'll do a line of mustard and a line of ketchup on the other side of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take it and I spin it so it spins inside the bread, and you get – It's good
more,
coverage.
Yeah, I was going to say more evenly.
And it's also when it soaks into the bread,
it's a little bit
it does taste better. Yeah. That's such a smart move.
Yeah. Sauerkraut.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't like a lot of stuff. That's why I eat ketchup on everything.
All the peppers. Yes.
I thought you then know that I did fish tacos on the grill.
Ooh, I bet those were great.
Yeah, they were really good. I got the recipe off of America's Test Kitchen site.
I went to a hot dog place with a friend of mine, and it's a very famous hot dog place in this town. And I went and I ordered the fish dog because they didn't have a veggie dog. And she looked at me, she goes, I didn't even know those were on the menu. And she'd grown up in this city. It took them the better part of 20 minutes because they had to go find the fish dog because nobody had ever really ordered
what
one.
What year was your, I would need that.
It was deep fried. You deep fry anything, it's going to taste good. It's fine.
I'm not worried about it tasting good. I'm thinking it's probably really old.
A little freezer burn scrapes off.
I'll say that cooking on this new grill with the charcoal jogs my memory of growing up eating food that way, because so many of us are using, if you're grilling or you don't grill at all, but if you do, it's on a gas grill and you lose that flavor, that charcoal-y flavor. And just plus it's way hotter than a gas grill. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, charcoal will burn up to 650 if you have the right grates and stuff. Hmm. Yeah, it's really hot. So
and also that smell. Nothing better, and you don't get it as often. Like you said, everybody's using gas grills now. So when you catch it in your neighborhood, you're like, and now D's that house.
Yeah, and I have the smoker. I'm doing beef ribs, smoking beef ribs this weekend.
Why are you guys doing that? I wasn't hungry until now. Oops, Thanks for that.
I showed this to Carson earlier. I may have a little problem. This is my Discover card bill. And the only thing last month.
Chick-fil-A.
Wow. It's literally the only place that I used it because it's connected to my Chick-fil-A app. I opened it up and went,
I encourage this because I get a Diet Coke out of it.
I bring
every
Carson
morning.
A Diet Coke every time I go to Chick-fil-A.
And so. Is that how you? Yeah, because I walk in and every day I see a Diet Coke from Chick-fil-A on her desk, and I'm like, "What is that?"
She made me feel guilty one time for not bringing her one, so now I bring her one every time.
Well, he also said that given his reward status, sometimes they're free.
Most of the time, the Diet Coke is free.
What is that card again we used to talk about, the red card?
I have a red status, but supposedly there's a Chick-fil-A, a black card or something that like only like 100 people have or something.
And you have to talk to the manager and you have to like, I'm surprised
with the
you
red
haven't
card,
been working,
you have to go to the manager?
I'm not going to talk to the guy to try to get the black card Chick-fil-A thing.
What do you get with the black card again? Oh, I have to look it up.
I don't know. I know this. With the Chick-fil-A red status, I can tour the Chick-fil-A museum.
There's
or something
museum.
Like that. I think so.
I love how Patrick thinks that he's gotten the good end of the deal out of all this. I showed them. Great negotiator.
Here's what comes with my Chick-fil-A red member status. I receive exclusive insider content throughout the year.
Wow.
I can use my points to gift rewards to friends and family.
You're going way too fast. What in the Lord's name would there be any kind of information that you needed to get early?
Insider information. Yeah,
what is that?
Content.
What is that?
New Chick-fil-A content before you do.
Okay.
Just stop being jealous.
I would pay for the Wendy's tweets early before everybody else.
Yes. Fair.
That would be
that's
great.
Legit.
I can use my points to redeem available rewards, blah, blah, blah. And I
but
receive a birthday reward for
what
Chick-fil-A.
Is that even? Okay, what does that even mean?
You can use it to
get available rewards?
Man, I don't know.
Yeah, of course you. If they're your reward, you would already. That's a dumb.
But I like the thing. He kind of glossed over it. The fact that he can gift points and stuff to his friends is pretty big.
I can buy you stuff with my Chick-fil-A points and send it to you on your app. And they give me free stuff on my birthday. And I get two free tickets to the College Football Hall of Fame, not the Chick-fil-A Hall of Fame.
Oh.
It's the Chick-fil-A College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, you CF Hall of Fame, and you went, it's Chick-fil-A.
I would actually prefer to go to the Chick-fil-A.
How are you not in the Chick-fil-A Hall of Fame?
I'm going to upload this to my Instagram story right now so they see it.
I've done a little precursor research for you. And this is talking about the Chick-fil-A A-list.
Ooh.
Did you know that there was an A-list?
I did not know.
Apparently,
now I'm upset that I'm not on it.
Not all locations have A-List. If your local ones don't, you're out of luck, obviously. But if they do, make sure you're scanning the app every time you order. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Because well, he orders off the
order
app.
On the
you
app.
Don't get red so, yeah. unless mm-hmm. you've
Because they
scanned.
Keep stats on the app, and the program, the operators use actually recommends people to invite. So they're basing it on how often. So you're probably popping up. You're probably getting pretty close to the top.
I would think. If I'm not.
This also says try and get to know your operator, meaning the person who owns
it. Talk to the manager.
That's what we talked about. Yeah.
Find out who they are, and if you see them, go up and introduce yourself. They love talking to the people who visit their store. If you have a great experience, fill out a survey or a cares card on the door, on the wall next to the door, and say, hey, and the team member name is awesome. This is a regulars who everyone likes and regulars who no one likes. If everyone likes you, you're a lot more likely to get an A-list, even if you don't spend as much money as other
people.
You
have never pulled a Patrick at Chick-fil-A, correct?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, just making sure.
Because you know why? Because it's Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And the My service pleasure. Is usually spectacular. And, yeah.
I had Chick-fil-A screw up my order one time. One time.
Yeah, and if that happens, they will jump.
Oh, dude! What are you doing?
I come sneeze into my elbow.
No, you didn't know. We have it on video.
You sneeze out into the wide open.
Ugh.
Ugh. What have you not learned from 2020?
Why would anyone marry you? You're the grossest person.
I turned away.
You put your if I mean, you don't have a mask, me, but... you put it into your shirt.
Yeah, why would you not sneeze into your own shirt at least? You just went into the air. Ugh. And it has nothing to do with COVID. It's just you.
Don't do that at Chick-fil-A. They will not give you a red card or whatever preferred A-list status.
Yeah, and you know what? You have nothing to say in response, Patrick, because
you
know.
I turned away.
You turned away.
You turned away.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What?
What? I just told you the last 2 minutes, but. I want to leave now.
Glenda on Facebook says, bless you, Patrick.
Thank you, Glenda.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
Don't encourage that behavior.
Trying to help you with your stupid card. That's how you reward me by giving me the Rona. Hate you. Ugh.
Are we done? I think we're done now.
I think you killed it.
Killed the podcast.
Good enough. It's
Patrick Sneeze
time.
Killed the podcast.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Maddie and Tay, and you're.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
Hi, Charlie. All right. Thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast.
Darius coming up.
Yes, O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. If you're listening on Facebook, you don't get to hear this unless you go listen on a podcast app. Dude, I can't believe that happened in here. Darius Rucker after the jingle. Here we
Definitely not overselling it.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay. You can listen to the regular show on the radio.
What?
Every day. It was the podcast.
Sorry too.
Ugh.
Are you sorry?
Not at all.
Hello, Darius Rucker. What's up?
Hello, my friends. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Hey, you remember that time we called you one morning and said, "Hey, man, did you know that this apartment complex in Knoxville, Tennessee, is using you and your whole family as the advertisement to sell
I
apartments?"
Forgot about that.
I thought about that 10 seconds when I saw your name. That Big D Bubba. That's the first thing I thought about. Absolutely.
It's like this dumbest thing. Like some.
And I was and the funny. Is the funny thing is that was we handled that. That was when we handled it very nicely. I was not as much of a jerk as I could have been, but we handled it.
Yeah. So like how? But so. But without I don't know what you can
do
tell.
Do you own that apartment complex?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. Is there a difference?
We could have.
What? So how does that conversation go? I mean, for those who are just listening, so a guy sent us. He goes, "Hey, is this Darius Rucker?" And he sends us this picture. It's like you've seen him when you go by apartment complex. It's like a big vinyl
poster. It's huge.
And it's like shows some happy family or some happy person living in their apartment complex. Well, it happened to be this
beautiful happy family,
and it's Darius.
And so, and we're like,
oh, it was
so
from his Christmas card.
So he sent it to Darius, and he's like, dude, what?
I was shocked.
So
I was really shocked.
What did you call your attorney and you said, hey, what is the, so what did they say? And did they, what was their excuse?
Oh, their excuse was it was in People Magazine is where the photo was from, and somebody got it off the internet or something. And I'm like, this is, for us, we were like, somebody got it off the internet and no one. Okay, this is in Tennessee, right?
It was in Knoxville, yeah.
Knoxville, okay. And no one put that up and said, y'all? That's Darius Rucker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did. I mean, some guy did. One guy, at least, then reached out to us.
He's talking about the people at the apartment complex.
The people who's printing it. I mean, yeah. The people are printing it. And the thing is, I guess I'm not as big as I thought.
Well, you know,
I didn't think of it that way.
It's like I tell my son all the time, you have to be careful the things that you post as your own. It's probably best if you take your own picture, and then that's what you use.
Yeah, just don't... I thank you guys for that. That was crazy, man. And the conversation for me was, hey, Gus, he said, send me the picture. He said, do you want to go hard or you want to go easy? That was the exact conversation.
That's funny.
Can I ask a very serious, important question?
Yeah.
Are we going to have football, Darius? Do you know anything that we don't know? Is there going to be college football?
This is what I believe. The NFL is going to play.
Yep.
College football is not going to play.
That's what I said months ago.
Don't say stuff like that. Don't even say it out loud.
I told you. Darius, it's good talking to you. Goodbye.
These guys are in denial. I've been telling them, man. It's just one or two. As every week goes by, or even every couple days go by, you get more players that are, this person's infected, that person's infected, and now we're canceling this and that. It's just, it's not going to happen. The pros, because it's a job. But you can't get these kids who are just going on their scholarship to go out.
You're right.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You can't get these. You get, and the first kid that gets COVID and gets really sick and his parents sue, the whole thing's going to shut down.
Yeah.
The whole thing, whoever's playing can't play anymore. And it's, you're watching the college and you want it to happen. And I mean, think about it. For South Carolina, you know, we're doing the schedule and you're going to really tell us we can't really play Clemson? Really?
Yeah.
You know, and you see that, and that makes me go, right before it's supposed to happen, they're going to go, we can't do this.
Yeah. Well, this is.
Look at Notre Dame. Look at Notre Dame right now. They shut down the school.
Yeah. Oh, you're seeing more and more. You're going to see more and more as schools get back in session. They're going to start pulling back, and then I think you guys are right. As much as I don't want to say it, I'm looking forward to getting you back out on the road and
actually seeing shows. That'd be crazy.
And seeing shows and stuff.
Man, you guys have no idea. Like for me, I thought about it. Like we always on the calendar, you saw there was a date that you're playing. You're playing here. You know, so if you had a month off or something, that'd be cool. You know, you're playing here. To not know really when I'm ever going to play in front of, you know, thousands of people all standing next to each other, sweating and laughing and talking and drinking, that is awful. That's awful.
Yeah. Are you doing any of the drive-through stuff or the virtual thing? Are you doing much of that?
I did one drive-through here in Nashville. It was great. I mean, tons of people came out, but it was great to be playing. But it was just so different. It was so weird. I've done some virtual stuff that's come up that you just go on. You know, that's easy. Get a guitar and play five songs, and people are happy. Okay, I can do that.
Hey, we were talking about how, you know, with all this going on, you're going to be fine. Luke is going to be fine. Both Lukes, but. There are some of these artists that I don't know that they're going to survive this because
as a career just financially
as a well both yeah well I mean one I guess they're connected but I don't I mean some of these smaller artists who are just getting started who are just kind of hanging on I mean don't you see they're like the restaurant business how there's going to be kind of a thinning of the herd do you see that with the artists
absolutely. You know, because there were so many artists that were right there at that point where, you know, they probably weren't going to headline arenas, but they were, you know, going to play some big theaters and they're going to sell them out and they're going to be start to really make some money and see, you know, and get their core and everything going. And that was shut down. And when you got your whole band and your crew together to go do something like that and you're paying these folks, and then you have to stop paying them and then there's no money coming in. That's Man, that's tough. Yeah.
How many people were, and this is maybe, I don't know if you know it offhand, but how many people, like for a typical Darius or even a Hootie show, how many people are in the entourage that travels city to city?
Let's see, for a Darius show with a band and a crew, I bet I have 25 people, maybe.
That wow. go town to town constantly.
Yeah, constantly.
I mean, that's a yeah. pretty, that's a decent-sized small business. That's not even a small, oh. small business.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, they're all on salary. I pay them all.
Yeah.
You know, wow. I mean, it's, and so it's like, you know, the shutdown is tough for everybody, but, you know, for me, that's what I'm really, and I guess it's not what I need, but it's what I want to go out and play. So, you know, I like to have my friends out there working hard, and then we go and we play a show and, you know, have a good time afterwards. But it's like, without shows, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Hey, what is, I mean, there's a whole group of people who know you as the Darius Rucker country guy, and not, maybe not so much the Hootie guy. Do you find that you have to kind of reintroduce people to it? Or have you ever talked to someone and been like, oh, well, also, and then you go into, you know, Take My Hand or whatever, and they're, like, completely blown away that you're that guy, too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This happened the beginning of the Hootie tour. It was before the tour started, and, you know, you're reading stuff on social media. And I bet there was 50, if not 100, people, you know, younger people who are in their 20s or late teens, you know, maybe early 30s, probably more like 20s, who DM'd me that, until this moment, until they saw a poster for Hootie the Blowfish going on tour, they had no idea that I was at least Hootie the Blowfish.
Wow.
No clue. And that's fun. That's one of the greatest moments. I love to tell this story. We were playing Houston. I'll never forget this. We're playing Houston. And this was, goodness, this was early on. This was before I started Headline. I was still playing, you know, coming up. And we're playing, and we're killing this crowd. And these four girls in the front row, they're probably 16, and they're singing every word to every song. Every word to every song, and we get to Let Her Cry, and they all sat down and had no idea what we were playing. It was like I was playing a brand new song to them.
But you know, it's got to be cool though, because like whenever you first started doing the country Darius solo project, which is still crazy that we have to even consider them as two careers, but it is. When you did the your first project, you were still, you know, kind of sliding in the Hootie songs and all that kind of stuff. Now, when you guys are doing Hootie shows, do you slide in the Darius solo songs?
We have to play Wagon Wheel. we have to. You know, I tried not to. We were in the meetings about Hootie, and we were talking about what we're going to play, and they were like, well, Wagon Wheel. I was like, well, I don't think we have to play that. You know, like, I play that every night. I think we can not play it for a year. And after a round and round of discussions, everybody just decided that there's no way we cannot play that. And I was like, you're right. And so we played that, and we play All Right. We've been playing All Right for a while, so we throw those in. And, you know, I like to play them, but it's up to those guys. I'll go out. You know, I'm just the singer in Mark's band. So, you know.
But who's the best golfer? That's what we really need to
know. Oh, me, by far. That's not even close. That's not even close. I'm seriously 7 strokes better than those guys.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Which puts you 70 strokes better than us.
That's right. Hey, congrats on Beers and Sunshine, man. And looking
Thank
forward
you,
to seeing you in person whenever we get all this out of the way, man.
Always great talking to you guys, man.
Thanks,
always.
Man. Darius Rucker.
Take care.